The topic for today, when I originally suggested it, was the finding meaning in suffering. Instead, I believe that your flyers indicate finding the meaning in pain. Take it either way you like. As I was preparing for this lecture for the last few weeks, it occurred to me that I was incredibly ambitious. I was perhaps even arrogant in my attempt to even address the issue within a format such as this within 45 minutes. So we are going to be doing a lot of running through some sources. And I did print this for you, and I know that perhaps some of you do not have the facility in Ivrit, but at least you have the source. You can go back to it and do a little bit of learning on your own. My hope is that this will perhaps pique your interest a little bit and do some serious study in the process. The world of paganism or the world of atheism does not have a problem with suffering and with pain. It doesn't have it because it does not try to justify why things are. They simply describe it as they are. The pagans never had a problem because they have multiple gods, and those multiple gods are forever in struggle with each other. And therefore, you've got this god trying to do this god, trying to do this god. However, the moment you accept monotheism, and you accept that God is omniscient, omnipotent, and all benevolent, you've got a problem. And that problem is never shirked and is never shoved under the rug in the Tanakh. From the very beginning, it seems that God loves it when we challenge him. And it seems that he takes great pride when we have a sense of justice and rail against injustice. Now, that doesn't mean that the problem is not ever fully resolved. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how a few of the sources address the problem itself, and then using the positions of Rav Yisachar Yaakovson, we are going to look at the 6/7 major solutions that were proposed throughout the Tanakh. You need to understand that aside from the classic book of Job, this problem is addressed over and over and over again by various Nevi'im, and there are, as I said, more than one book that addresses it and nothing else. The book of Job, of course, is nothing but the question of Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo. That's what the book is all about and is not nearly learned enough. The book of Habakkuk is focused only on the question of the injustice of evil reigning in this world. The Jewish thinker throughout the ages did not push evil under the rug, even though there were some people who tried to argue otherwise. The notion somehow that evil does not exist comes from the famous saying that Chazal say, Kol ma de'avid rachmana, whatever it is that the Rebbein Shalom did, le'tav avid, he did it for the good. And therefore, if it hurts, if it seems bad, it really isn't. But that plays a kind of mental calisthenic that is belied in the Tanakh. The first time we address this is not whether or not evil exists, because you know that already from the curses that are given to Adam and Chava. You know that nothing good will be born without pain. Betzar teldi banim, right? You know that you will not be able to raise or have meaning in your life easily. You know that bezeata pecha tochal lechem. Whatever it takes, no pain, no gain. And I am so sore from my workout, I can't tell you. Now, In Bereshit, in Perek Yutchet, Hashem Yisbarach appears to Avraham Avinu and tells him that he will have a son, finally. He also tells him that he is going to be destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. You all remember the three malachim came, each one had his own. And there is suddenly an aside in which God addresses us, the readers. V'Hashem amar. Now, it doesn't say he said it to somebody. And it's also written in the past perfect tense. Hashem amar, Hashem had already said, HaMechase ani me'Avraham asher ani oseh. Do I hide from Avraham anything that I'm about to do or that I'm going to do? In other words, the role of Avraham is to know what God wants to do in this world and to become a partner with God in doing it. Ve'Avraham hayo yiyeh legoy gadol ve'atzum ve'nivrechu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. That's his mission. His great nation, his job is to do, is to become a vehicle for bracha for all nations of this earth. And then he adds the words, ki yedativ. And we translate that, ki yedativ, I know him? Well, the Shabbos, of course you know him. You're the omniscient. But if the word yadoa means, as it is, v'adam yada et chava ishto, then he tells us, for I loved him. And what did I love him for? What did Avraham do that he deserved to be chosen? Leman. God gave him love, not because of something that he did, but for what he's going to do with it. Leman, for the sake of asher yitzaved banav et beito acharav, he will command his children and his household after him. V'shamru derech Hashem, that they will observe and that they will preserve the way of God. What is the way of God? Lasot tzedaka u'mishpat. That's their mission. That's what they're here for. Some people call it tikkun olam. This is what we were here for. This is what we were chosen for. Leman. And therefore, once they will fulfill all of this and live through their mission, Hevi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber. Alav. Then God will be able to fulfill all of his promises to Avraham. In other words, like this, I chose you. You have a mission in life. If you could fulfill the mission in life, I will keep my promises to you. And Vayomer Hashem, now we come back to regular language. That was an aside. And that aside was, I want you to watch my kid. Watch him now. Look what happens. So the Ribbono Shel Olam then turns to Avraham and he tells him, Zakat Sodom ve'Amora ki rabah v'chatatam ki kavda meod. The scream, what's coming up from Sodom ve'Amora is horrific. It is, their sin is overwhelming. Erdana ve'ere, let me go down and see. And of course you have this incredible anthropomorphism, kivyachol, he's up there and he can't see what's going on. He has to come down here. And Rashi on the spot tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to diminish himself to teach us a lesson. Namely, that we can't judge the situation until you don't get into somebody's shoes. You have to find out really what it is that's going on there. Haketzakata? Is it truly like the scream thereof? Is it as bad as it sounds? Let's check it out. If it's true, kala, I will wipe them out. Ve'im lo. But if it's not as bad as it sounds, Ed'a, I will know. I will know, or maybe I will love. I will show rachamim. Take your pick. Vayifnu misham anashim, and the malachim that came to Avraham picked up and left, and they headed vayilchu Sodoma. Ve'Avraham odenu omed lifnei Hashem. But who's left in the tent? Avraham. And kiviyochol the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's remaining the way they started. They started out together, three men came, they did whatever they did. In between, they left, and now Avraham is standing before Hashem. Vayigash Avraham, and he approaches. Vayomer ha'af tispe tzadik im rasha. Now, he knows what Sodom is. And he knows that it's not only as bad as the scream, it's probably even worse. Will you truly destroy everybody? Will you destroy the righteous with the guilty? אולי יש 50 צדיקים בתוך העיר? What if there's 50 good people there? האף תספה ולא תיסה למקום. Will you truly destroy them and not bear, not forgive the place? Now, do you understand that this is height of sophistry? The complaint of killing the innocent together with the guilty makes sense. So the next thing is, won't you save the innocent? Instead, he says, if there's 50 innocent people, save the entire city. Now, why would that make sense? The moment you do that, you're letting evil get away with it. Evil will continue to thrive. And that's what he asked for. And Hashem, of course, conceded, and he says, no problem. I will save the city if there's 50 people in its midst. Now, some say that in its midst means that they're not in hiding. That's not underground. It's out in the open. And then, of course, actually, I skipped. What about 40? What about 30? Finally, we get down to 10. You know, now he's some lawyer, right? Here we go. And what does he tell Hashem? Chalila lecha me'asot kadavar hazeh. He goes to God and he tells him, how dare you? You cannot. It's a desecration of you to do this kind of thing. Lehamit tzadik im rasha. To kill the righteous along with the evil. Vehayaka tzadik rasha. If that's the case, then there's really no difference. Nature is blind, indifferent. And as Hobbes put it, life in this world, the human condition is that life is brutal and short. And there's nothing you can do about it, just face up to it. It's the reality. Chalila lecha, ha-shofet kol ha-aretz lo yaseh mishpat. Would the judge of the entire universe not do that which is just? And that was the first time that it was lashed out. And he doesn't get whacked. God doesn't say, nah, nah. On the contrary, he tells us ahead of time, I want you to see why I picked him. Let me show you why I picked him. What then did Avraham try to do, which ultimately was culminated with Moshe Rabbeinu, when he pleaded after Chet HaEgel? It was to bring down a way, Derech Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is Kulo Rachamim. If Hashem is slow to anger, if Hashem is all-loving, if I ask him to forgive my sins, I'm also asking him to forgive everybody else's. It's a simple kind of ethic. What's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. And if this world will be run by Midas HaRachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech HaPaim, you see what happens if he's slow to anger, then the fires of Auschwitz continue to burn. While God gives a chance for humanity to do what it needs to do, and it doesn't do it. When it finally gets shaken, when it finally wakes up, when it finally does something, it could have, of course, done this much, much sooner. But that comes from God's forbearance. That God's love, not only for the tzaddik, but also for the Rasha. And that's a terrible problem. That's a terrible problem, because if we want Midas HaRachamim for me, I've just asked for it also for the Hitlers and for the Khomeinis of the world. And that is essentially what Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with. In the first Luchot, it's Kel Kana, Poked Avon Avot Al Banim Al Sheleshim, right? And I will pay back exactly what you deserve. But if I get whatever I deserve, I'd be zapped several times over. And therefore, I'm being given a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. But just as I get those chances, so do evildoers get those chances. And consequently, we have a world that is chaotic. We have a world that is chaotic and irrational, for love is not rational. Love makes no sense. You don't love somebody because they're good. You don't love somebody because they're worthy. That's the insanity of it all. Yirmiyahu, who was the prophet of doom and who we will hear of course, shortly in Eicha, accepts his mission and tells us, Tzadik ata Hashem ki ariv elecha. God, you are righteous, and the word ki in this case, not because, but achen, indeed, as a result, I must do battle with you. Because you cherish justice, because you like mishpat utzdaka, I must go to bat. Ach mishpatim adaber otach. I'm going to deal with you, I'm going to talk with you by your own laws, the laws of your Torah. In fact, Yirmiyahu is the first one that calls God to a din toire. Madua derech reshaim tzlecha. Never mind reward. Never mind some aches and pains. Never mind that life is supposed to be tough. You told me that. But why is it that evil seems to work? Why is it that they seem to flourish? I don't see them dying hard. I don't see them not sleeping at nights. Shalu kol bogdei baged. Shalu shalva. They are serene, all of you, these traitors. And Kohelet, of course, completely devoted to dealing with the absurdities of life. Et hakol ra'iti b'yemei hevli. I've seen everything, he says, in my short, brief, meaningless life. Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko. There's righteous people who are destroyed by their own tzidkes, by their own righteousness, by their own goodness. Ve'yesh rasha ma'arich b'ra'ato. And there are evil people who seem to live a good, long life and persist and survive and thrive, dafka because of their relishes. Kohelet then continues, Yesh hefel asher nesa la'aretz. There is a, I know they translate this as a vanity, it means an absurdity that exists on earth, asher yesh tzadikim, asher magia lehem kemaseh rasha'im. There are righteous people who seem to be getting what would have been appropriate to give to rasha'im. Ve'yesh rasha'im shemagia lehem kemaseh tzadikim. And there are evil people who seem to be getting exactly what the righteous and the good should be getting. That's the fact of life. We do not sway away from it. In Judaism, suffering is approached as a fact of life. We don't shove it under the rug. We don't pretend that it's otherwise. It is what it is, and nobody. And to lie otherwise is to lie to your God. And the Rabbonei Shlom Chazal tell us, hates psychophants who try to flatter him, or make deals with him by telling that it's all good. I said, Titvei is in Yiddish, they say, Schreitman. When it hurts, we scream. And I know that we always get examples of those shekiblu yisurim be'ahava, accepted suffering with love. And yet other tanoim come along and say, do me a favor, no yisurim and no love, haltzach medem. You know, I don't need it, I don't want to be tested. What do we do with this? We're going to go through what the major solutions were. The Tanakh itself, and particularly the Chumash, and that's what you, is that suffering, pain, and so on, comes to this world by virtue of sin, from the original sin, and further on to each sin. All of this comes as a result of it, and that's why you have the Tochachot. The Tochachot is in the 26th chapter of Vayikra, and Devarim in the 28th chapter, Vahayayim, Shamoat, Ishmeu, El Mitzvotai, Asherai, etc. But the Ramban points out, well, that there are two major parshiyot in the Shema. The first one is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, and it's written in Ve'ahavta, it's written in singular. Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. And what are you going to get? Doesn't say a word. Nothing is described about the what are you going to get for it. You're going to do it because you were commanded to, because you've undertaken, because you stood there and said, Naaseh, because of who you are. That's what you're going to do. But then comes the second half, V'hayayim shamoa tishme'u et mitzvotai, and the Ramban in Torah Tagmul tells us that reward is only described in the plural and in the long run. So what you do in this world may be coming around. Nobody talks here about Olam Haba, okay? And there's no 72 virgins or any of that stuff. What they talk about is that what you do now has an impact on your children, your children's children, and therefore nothing is lost. It comes around. Now, if that's the case, then perhaps it also does that in terms of negative. You may not get punished in this lifetime, but your children perhaps will, okay? And therefore, he says, there is no mention of reward or punishment specifically in the Tanakh on the singular level and the micro level, only on the macro level. At that level, we will be able to flourish as a nation. And that's what we're being told here, okay? And the sources that you have for this is as follows. In Devarim Kaftet, after giving us the Tochacha, comes Moshe Rabbeinu and tells us as follows. There will come the last generation. Your children who will rise up after you. Not only your own children will ask this question, but the goyim that come from a distant land, they too will ask. When they see the plagues, what happened to this country, what happened to this place? And now he's referring about what would have happened to Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. But you can do the same thing if you came in 1945 and you stepped into Buchenwald, right? And you would ask the question, and you would see etachlueha, the illnesses, the diseases, asher chila Hashem ba, that God finally plagued her with. Gofrit v'melach, this is where it comes from, fire and brimstone. Sreifa kol arza, go to Hiroshima. And you see the desolation of a land that has been so contaminated that nothing will grow on it anymore. Nagasaki. You see the place and it looks just like Sdom ve'amora, where nothing will grow anymore, where the earth has been turned upside down. And they will all say, Al ma'asa Hashem kacha. For what did God do this? La'aretz hazot. Ma'chori ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. What is this incredible rage, this anger? Va'amru al asher azvu et brit Hashem Elokei avotam. And it will be, the answer will come through the generations. It's because they abandoned the covenant. This is why it's happening, yeah. This is the covenant that we made when we came out of Mitzrayim. This is what we did. This is what it's written there in Devarim. In Yirmiyahu, who asked the same question, right? He goes and argues a whole different thing. He, Yechezkel, railed against the notion that we are suffering for the sins of our fathers. Now, can you deny that, by the way? Can you deny that a child who grew up in a home where there was abuse is not a victim and will continue to suffer for what happened at home, for what his father or his mother did? Isn't that the fact? Do we not carry not only the behavioral damage, but the genetic damage? We inherit the good as well as the bad, and we are affected by it. So there's no way to say that we are somehow can cut ourselves off from whatever happened before. We carry that baggage through the generations. That occurs. Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel Chazal tell us, prayed to the Ribbono Shel Olam to stop holding children accountable for what their parents did. Bayamim ha'hem, in the later days, someday, im yirtzeh Hashem, lo yomru od avot achlu boser u'shinei banim tichena. Our fathers ate unripe food, and as a result, the children's, because of the acid, their children's teeth got worn away. Ki im ish be'avono yamut. Each person will die for his own sins. And ditto Yechezkel, who were contemporaries. Hanefesh achotet, hitamut. The one that sins, he will die. ben lo yisa be'avon ha'av, ve'av lo yisa be'avon ha'ben. No children will be held accountable for what their fathers did. Fathers will not be held accountable for what their children do. Tzidkat tzadik alav tihyeh, your own righteousness is your own. You own up to it. V'rishat ha'rasha alav tihyeh, and the evil that you've done is on your own responsibility. But now comes the next step. V'harasha, but if the evil person, ki yashuv mikol chatotav asher asah, if he should choose to repent and come back from all the evil that he's done, v'shamar et kol chukotai, and he will keep all of my ordinances, v'asah mishpat et tzedakah, and now he also goes out there actively doing tzedakah and mishpat, chayo yichye lo yamut. Is there any logic to tshuva? If you're going to be held responsible for what you did, now we're being told that you could have done all kinds of things, and guess what you can do? Whoops! And you switch around, and what happened to your victims? And what happened to the sense of justice? We want justice! And the answer is, Yechezkel says, no, no, no. Chayo yichye velo yamut. Kol psha'av asher asa lo yizachru od. Anything he may have done, wiped out clean. B'tzidkato asher asa yichye. However, he also tells you, if you were a goody, 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 and then you switched around, all the goods that you did, wiped out. Now, that makes no sense. So we like the idea of each one being held responsible for what he did. But he adds this issue of the potential of transforming yourself, of becoming somebody new, somebody different, both for the good and for the bad. And in that sense, declares each person's autonomy over his own moral choices. So yes, you could have been abused, and yes, you can stand up and say, that was then, and I'm going to be different. You can dissociate from your past. You can start fresh. And this is a great promise, but one that flies in the face of what we consider fair. But we really don't want fair. We want fair for the other guy, not for me. We want fair and justice for the person I hate, not for those that I care about. So we see the weakness about this issue, because we see, of course, also that not every sin is punished, and not every good deed is rewarded. Comes the second solution that's proposed in the Tanakh, and that is that whatever success you see evildoers having, it's only temporary, whereas the rewards of righteousness last for ever. And you have that already from Aseret HaDibrot, where the evil can carry on up to four generations, whereas the good deeds that you've done will go up to 1,000 generations. But Tehillim Ayin Gimel, which is called the Little Job, deals with this even more. Ve'achshava la'dat zot, after confessing that he almost went off the derech, that he'd almost slammed the door on God, seeing how evil people seem to be flourishing, seeing the quality of their lives, seeing how difficult it is to maintain righteousness and how no good deed goes unpunished. I wanted to understand it, he says, V'achshava la'dat zot, amal hi be'enai. I wanted to understand it, but I found it a fruitless labor. And later on you will hear, of course, in Iyov, he says, Adam le'amal yulad. There is avodah. There's all kinds of words, but the word amal implies carrying stones from here to there, then taking the stones and carrying back to here, then doing it all over again, and it seems to be useless, futile labor. Ad avo el mikdash shekel. Until I came to the temples, to the holy places of God, Avinna le'achritam. And there I came to understand what happens at their end. What is Mikdash Shekel? Some say he came to Yerushalayim and he spoke to the Chachomim and to the Kohanim and they guided him. Others go as far as saying he went up to Mikdash Shekel. Mi yale be'har Hashem, umi yakum bimkom kodesho. He'd gotten a glimpse of the other world. By the way, if you haven't read it yet, buy the book Proof of Heaven, written by a neuroscientist who was an atheist. And you get a glimpse, if you somebody would just open up a little tiny window for a moment, and he managed to come there. And I understood what happens at their end. Ach b'chalakot tashit lamo. You let them slide happily on their way to hell. Hipaltem lamashuot. You made them fall. You let them take the slide down. To the word mashuot comes from the same shorosh as the word shoah, to utter and complete desolation and destruction. So in a sense, he's not talking about hell as much as he's talking about the fact that evil eventually burns itself out. It's gone. Safu, tamu, min balahot. They come to an end. They're finished in their terrors. Kechalom mehakitz, and waking up like from a deep dream. Adoshem be'il tzalmam tivze. In the city, God, you will mock and disdain any image that was once left of them. In other words, this world exists far beyond what we can see. There will come a day when bila lamavet, netzach, it'll be wiped out, and evil will be wiped out. In Malachi, the prophet, this is the generation after the Churban, the generation in Babel, the generation that lost its faith. And they said to Malachi the prophet, Shav avod Elokim, what was the purpose of serving God? It's not merely hard, it was useless. Uma betza ki shamarnu mishmarto v'ki alachnu kodoronit. What was the point of watching his watch, to keeping, observing his what he asked us to observe, and walking around sad? V'ata anachnu ma'ashrim zedim. Look at this world, look who gets honored, look who's sitting up at the head tables. Gam nivnu osei risha. I see the buildings that they build, those that do such rishus. Gam bachanu elokim vayimaleitu. They tested God, they dared God. Let me see what you will do to me, if he'll do anything. And what happened? They found out that nothing will happen. They escaped. Az nidbiru irei Hashem ish el reu. And as a result, God-fearing people said to each other, but Hashem heard them. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma. Vayikatev sefer zikaron lefanav lirei Hashem. He wrote it down in a book to those who cared. And what did he tell them? Vehayuli. Those people that withstood it when it wasn't kedai to be a Jew, when it wasn't kedai to be good, when the good guys came last, and they wrote it down, but nevertheless they persisted. I am writing this down, liyom asher ane oseh sgula, on the day where I will make a sgula. Is not simply a little thing you carry, here's a kameya, there will be a sign. V'chamalti alehem kasher yachmol ish al bno ha'oved oto. I will have mercy on them as one would have mercy for a son who served him. V'shavtem ure'item, you will come back and see again. Ben tzadik l'rasha, ben eved elokim asher lo avado. You will again yet see a world in which there's a difference between the tzadik and the rasha, between one who served God and one who did not. So their success is temporary, ours is eternal. We're just sitting around waiting for the day and maintaining ourselves. Other Mefoshim came along and noticed that the Jewish people seem to be suffering more than others. But we're still here, in spite of it all. We're still here. And Amos addresses this issue. and tells us, "Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpechot ha'adama, al ken efkod alechem et kol avonoteichem." It's only you that I loved among all the nations of the world, and therefore I hold you accountable. In other words, we are punished for what we do bad. To set us straight, like you would kick a horse to get him on the right path, to get some pain to indicate that maybe something is wrong and maybe you'll fix it. So they'll feel it, you understand? And therefore it is functional pain. But the reason he holds us accountable is that he does not want us to slide down merrily on our way to oblivion. Yirmiyahu agrees with this issue. Now he's referring not to the destruction, but when he brings us back. And God says, I'll bring you back. You'll come back to Eretz Yisrael sobbing. And I'll have to plead with you to come with me. I'll lead you to streams of water. On an easy path so that you won't stumble thereon. Ki hayiti li Yisrael le'av. For I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Shimu dvar Hashem goyim, v'higidu ba'iyim imerchak. Listen to the word of God, all of you nations, all the isles distant. V'amru, mezare Yisrael yekabtzenu, the one that scattered us will gather us. Vishmaro kiroe edro, and he will watch over them like a shepherd watches over his sheep. Ki pada Hashem et Yaakov, and in his vision Yirmiyahu sees that God has redeemed us. Uge'alo miyat chazak mimenu, he will save us from a hand that's much stronger than us. And in our generation we've seen open miracles of this kind, which Rav Soloveitchik saw as the Shoah veha tkuma, the thing that gave meaning to the destruction. Not that it's over yet. Uvau virinenu bimrom Tzion, they will come again and sing at the heights of Tzion. Venaharu el tuf Hashem, and they'll come back to the goodness of God, but not merely to a spiritual goodness, not merely to a moral goodness. But el hadagan, el hatirosh, ve'el hayitzar, back to grain. Also, olam hazeh, a life of prosperity, a life of riches. And that's what he promises. Ve'haytan nafsham kegan rave, and their souls will be revived like a well-quenched garden. Lo yusifu le'da'ava od, they will no longer mourn. As tismach betulah b'machol, then young maidens can go out laughing and dancing. Ubachorim v'skenim yachdav, and older people along with young men will dance together joyously. V'hafachti evlam l'sason unechamtim v'simachtim migonam, I will yet make them happy. Yeshayahu comes along with an idea that is the only one in the entire Tanakh that mentions this concept. It, of course, gave fodder for something called Christianity. It is not clear if the Navi is saying this as something that they say and therefore is not necessarily true, or that perhaps he gave us a glimpse into why certain good people suffer. Achen cholyenu hu nasa, indeed he bore our illnesses. Umachoveinu sevalam, and he carried, he suffered for our pains. Ve'anachnu chashavnuhu nagua muke elokim umeune, and we all along thought that he was a leper, beaten by God, despised by him and tortured. Ve'hu mecholal mipsha'enu, but he unfortunately was created by our sins. Meduke me'avonoteinu, he was oppressed by our iniquities. Musar shlomenu alav, the yoke of our survival is put on him. Ubechavurato nirpalanu, and through his wounds we were healed. Kulanu katzon ta'inu, we wandered lost like sheep. Ish le darko paninu, each of us turning to our own way. V'Hashem hifgia bo et avon kulanu. And God cast upon him our sins. Each of us survived, and he got it all. Most of the Mefarshim, Hadak among them, believe that this is essentially what the Goyim will say and how they managed to nail one Jew to the cross and did it throughout 2,000 years of history. Somehow indicating that we carry, and that Jew too, dies for their sins. Instead of the word for leman, say that he dies because of their sins. We are the atlases, says Radak, that hold this world because we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom not to destroy it. If we don't want the world to be destroyed, we ask forbearance for ourselves, but also for others, and therefore evil can flourish. And we're willing to undertake the pain of this world so that it will ultimately survive. But that the sins that man creates, because God gave us freedom of choice, is here. And therefore comes the next one, and this with this I will end, and you'll do it on your own. Sevel is a nisayon, and I give you here the opening lines of Iyov. Hasamta libcha el avdi Iyov, did you see my servant Iyov? God asks the Satan. Ki en kamohu ba'aretz, there's none like him on earth. Ish tam v'yashar, yireh Elokim v'sameh. This is not somebody else. This is not a human being making this assessment. This is God himself making the assessment that this is an honest, perfect man. God-fearing, and does everything he can to stay away from evil. Vayana Satan et Hashem, and he answers him. Hachinam yareh Iyov Elokim. Is it for naught, for nothing, that God, he's God-fearing? Halo atzachta be'ado. After all, you protected him. You put a sukkah over him. Nothing ever hurt him. Ube'ad kol asher lo misaviv. Everything that he did was successful. Why shouldn't he be grateful? Of course he was a good man. Masei yadav berachta mikneu paratz ba'aretz v'ulam shlach la yadcha legash alo. Just touch him. Touch him and see what happens. Im lo al panecha yivarchecha. If he won't bless you to your face, which is a euphemism to say if he won't curse you the moment you touch him. Suffering and pain in this world is dissociated from our behaviors, because otherwise we would be nothing but trained seals. You did a good deed, you get a herring. You understand? You did a good thing, you get a mitzvah note. You got a little candy. When do we stop doing that? When is it because of who I am and what I believe in? Even if it's not kedai, then it would have been worthwhile living because of what I am. Because I was created, B'Tselem Elokim, as a human being who will do good expecting nothing in return. Therefore, suffering is frequently a test of what you really are. And in the process of testing it, you become what you really are. Because you really don't know it until you've been forged through the fire. That's when you become truly what you really are. And I know she keeps doing this to me, so I've got to quit. Finally, I just want you to point out, Darkei Hashem nisgavim mibinat ha'adam. In the final analysis, the answer is that we cannot understand God's ways. But we do know injustice when we see it. And what it's meant to do is to give us a kick in the behind, to get up and do something about it. Because this earth was given to us to conquer and to do something. V'bishvili nivra olam. It was created for me. And this world, small as I am, within my own Dalad Amos, can make a difference to wipe out evil and to allow goodness to flourish. And ultimately, the believer finds in the process of suffering sometimes that it's the hand of God that wipes his brow as he sweats.